Today is December 22nd, 2016, and this is episode number 390 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I like to use archaic methods for communicating, including all of the various and sundry assorted accoutrements associated with them.
Which is
to get the full story.
Which is exactly why we're using AOL for this connection today.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
I totally should have said eWorld instead of AOL.
eWorld, yes, if you were only cool.
I am cool from a certain perspective.
And so am I. Like, for instance, you know, of course, exactly what accoutrement I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes, I do. And
you have seen said accoutrement.
I have. And
that's not a euphemism.
No, just to be clear, it's not a euphemism, especially since I was about to say, and it was really cool getting to see your accoutrement.
Right. Okay. Well, I tell you what, there is something I am unsanguine about. I am not sanguine at all about this, Jeff.
Tell me, Brian, what are you?
It's that video you posted. It's the,
oh,
it's
crimin, at least.
It's the Star Wars. What are they called?
Galactic Empire.
The Galactic Empire. The Galactic Empire rocks? Or no, just the name of the band.
It's just
is
Galactic Empire. Galactic Empire. All right. So man, you're so uptight sometimes. Okay, listeners. So here's the deal. I posted a little thing on Wednesday about this cool video that I found on YouTube, and it's this band called Galactic Empire. And so it's, you know, bass and electric guitar.
Two guitars, one bass, one drums.
And yes. And so they do the various music, the soundtrack music from the Star Wars movies on these instruments, and they dress up in Star Wars costumes. So there's Darth Vader, there's Stormtroopers, and there's Boba Fett. And
well, hold on, come on, dude. There's Darth Vader, then there's
two Stormtroopers.
Yeah, there's a Stormtrooper in black.
Yeah, and you know what those are?
No, I don't actually.
Oh, geez. See, I'm glad that you don't know, so that I can publicly humiliate you with your Star Trek or Star Wars knowledge. That's a TIE fighter pilot.
Oh, of course. I actually thought it was, but I didn't want to embarrass myself by saying it.
So instead you embarrassed yourself by saying you didn't.
By not saying it. Anyhow. By not saying it, yes.
Yeah, and then an Imperial classic Guard.
A classic Star Wars original movie Stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. Got a TIE fighter, you got Stormtrooper, the original Stormtrooper, and then what's the other one?
Imperial Guard.
And the Imperial Guard guards both the Emperor and Darth Vader, is that correct?
Yes, and other
dudes in red.
Yeah, other Empire dignitaries as well.
And for some reason, Boba Fett's on drums.
Well, because he's Mandalorian, and no one hits a drum like a Mandalorian. I mean, they mean it. They can keep a serious beat. Anyhow.
Right, well, here's my problem. Right? They do this great job of covering the Star Wars music from a rock and roll band. It's great. That's terrific and everything.
Yeah.
But my problem is that in this video, they're playing guitar with gloves on. They have gloves on their hands. They have gloves on. You can't play guitar or bass with gloves. You can't do it.
So what? It's cool and it's fun, and watching Darth Vader sit there and totally rip the Star Wars theme.
Except that he's not. He can't. You know why he can't? Because he's got gloves on. Go to the 27-second mark. Go to the 27-second mark. He's playing guitar. Look at his gloved hands. They're dampening the strings. You can't play guitar with gloves on. So I call shenanigans. Shenanigans.
I call shenanigans on you because it's a fun video. And of course they're recording and then just playing along later on because
well, no, they're not playing along. They're not playing along because they're wearing gloves.
Oh, for the love of God and all that's holy. Anyhow, it doesn't matter, Brian. It's cool and it's fun. And the fact that they're playing with gloves is totally irrelevant because it's about Darth Vader and Stormtroopers and Boba Fett playing these songs on the Death Star. And we know that they are not really doing that because they're not real people. And it's just
the road to hell was paved with not paying attention to the fact that you can't play gloves, wear gloves while you're playing guitar.
I'm pretty sure that the road to hell is paved with pretty much my life, which does not include playing guitar with gloves on.
Well, it's because you can't do it.
It's a beautiful and fun theatrical performance.
It is fun. It's fun, but they're wearing gloves while they're playing guitar.
Okay, so you lose your suspension of disbelief because Darth Vader has gloves on while playing a guitar, and just take that, just absorb that right there. Darth Vader playing guitar with gloves on. But you're okay with him force choking someone in the video.
Correct. You just spoiler alert.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. Sorry about that.
You who hate spoilers. You who hate spoilers.
Don't you deflect? Don't you deflect? This is all about you having a dysfunction where you are having a problem with gloves in a video that's just fun and awesome music.
I can suspend my disbelief all day long at the idea of Darth Vader playing guitar.
No, I don't think you can. Because you are so freaking out over these gloves.
I can suspend my disbelief all day long for those things. But you put gloves on their hands and I'm calling shenanigans.
See, you can't suspend your disbelief because you are totally freaking out over Darth Vader wearing gloves while he plays guitar.
But it's not over the Darth Vader playing guitars. It's that he's wearing gloves. You just can't do it. Dampens the strings. Not only can you not feel what you're doing, they dampen the strings.
Maybe he can feel what he's doing because he uses the Force.
It's not going to stop his gloves from dampening the strings.
How do you know? I mean, if he can force choke someone, which we have seen in Star Wars with gloves on, then maybe he can play guitar with gloves on and use the Force. Maybe it's a special Sith trick. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because watching Darth Vader and Stormtroopers and Boba Fett play the Star Wars theme and do it really well is just loads of fun.
All right. The Boba Fett drummer looks like he's really having problems with his own drum part in the Boba Fett costume. That's all I'm saying. God. So in the meanwhile, I have something else to call shenanigans on.
Okay. Is it the fact that the visor is too narrow for an Imperial guard to see out of?
No. You might possibly have a point there, but no, that wasn't it. So the encryption working group, this is a subset. Let me actually, this is the House Judiciary Committee and House Energy and Commerce Committee have a joint group called the Encryption Working Group.
Do you have a problem with them because they wear gloves?
No, because they're not playing guitar. If they're going to play guitar, yes, I'm going to have a problem with that because I'm going to call shenanigans.
I really hope someone.
But this is not why. So this has got, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's got 10 members. It looks like 2, 3, 4. Yep. Half and half Democrats and Republicans, despite the fact that the Republican Party actually does control the House. They divide this working group evenly between the two parties. Is that right? Am I getting this right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep. Okay. And the encryption working group has been working on the thorny subject of encryption and law enforcement and intelligence needs in accessing encrypted data. Right. So we're going back to, we're going back to the 90s and earlier. with encryption, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But in particular, we're going back to the San Bernardino terrorist.
Yes, the mass shooting incident. Syed Farouk.
Syed, that's, I knew I was getting that wrong. And his
committed, his wife Tashfeen Malik.
The two of them had committed a terrorist attack in San Bernardino, California, and
yeah, it was right about this time, 2015.
Right, and it started coming to a head in January when the FBI said they needed help with the phone. And it was like a work phone owned by or used by Syed and owned by the San Bernardino County Health Department.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And they wanted Apple's help in opening it. And Apple said, nah. And
yeah, Apple said, we can't.
Right. And the FBI went to court, seeking a court order, forcing Apple to create a version of iOS that would bypass security message that could be sideloaded onto this device, right, and it would bypass. Right, it would allow them to bypass the security measures that are on the device. Mm-hmm. That was the plan, and the court said, "Yeah, giddy up, Apple's got to do this." And Apple was appealing, and the we had this big long public battle between Apple, between the FBI in particular, Director James Comey, and the Department of Justice was backing the FBI on this. People with a basic understanding of security were backing Apple.
Right. And the CIA and NSA were not supporting the DOJ or FBI.
And were rumored to publicly not they were rumored to specifically not support them. They didn't come out in support of the CIA, of the FBI, and they were specifically rumored to not support the FBI.
Yes,
but they didn't weigh in publicly. And technology companies all said, no, this ain't going to fly. This isn't going to work. FBI, Apple, and in particular CEO Tim Cook, were quite vociferous about that same position, that we can't do this. This would put all of our customers at risk all around the world. This would, in particular, threaten consumers from the bad guys.
Right.
And all the bad guys, all the criminal bad guys.
And he also said it would set a dangerous precedent where electronics makers would all be expected to, and probably forced to, create inherent security weaknesses in their devices so that the government would have a backdoor into our encrypted information.
And the principle being that if the government has a backdoor, that everyone has access to that backdoor.
Yes.
And that iOS, is it 8 and above or 9 and above?
Can't remember. Where the total device encryption comes in?
Yes.
I believe that's a 9.
That's what I think, it's 9 and above. That iOS is actually, I think it's 8 and above. Now that we say it.
Maybe. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And that it's been created from the ground up to be secure. Apple doesn't have keys to the device, the data that's encrypted on your device.
And that's on purpose, because they don't want to have those keys. And they want to make sure that our data is as safe as it can possibly be.
Right. To protect us from criminal hackers, just plain old malicious hackers, people in 4chan who want to release your private part pics.
If you really want to see my photos like that, just ask. It's a lot easier than hacking. Anyhow, but I've said too much.
Yeah, I'm not asking. And, by the way, both of our girlfriends think that you and I have a thing. I mean, probably most of our listeners think that you and I have a thing.
Yeah, and I'm okay with people thinking whatever they want. I know what our relationship is. You know what our relationship is.
And
did it just get hot in here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, steamy. against malicious actors, against foreign spies, against foreign governments, you know, particularly the Russians and the Chinese, but not limited to the Russians and the Chinese, and you know, protecting commercial interests, being able to protect their intellectual property from industrial spies and foreign governments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? We all depend. Let me rephrase that. If we want to have security from all the bad guys out there,
mm-hmm.
we got to have security. And the good guys, we can't give just the good guys access to this. Now, we've talked a lot about this show on this show and on TDO. I believe that Dave Hamilton and John F. Braun have talked a lot about it on Matt Geek Gab.
Yes.
We've written thousands of words on the subject.
Yep. And John Martellaro has had security experts on Background Mode.
Yep. And the long and this, the long and the short of it is there's really no compromise.
No, it's either we have true encryption and security for our data, or we do not.
And so the encryption working group was tasked with studying this because, listen, to this to Jeff and I, and again to anyone with a basic understanding of reality, when it comes to encryption, it's very obvious how this works, as we just described it.
Mm-hmm.
But reasonably speaking, and I'm being a jerk when I put it that way, but reasonably speaking, there are lots of folks who don't have a basic understanding of how encryption works. And to them, it's just very obvious that law enforcement should be able to get into the device owned or used by a bad guy. It's just obvious. You want to stop the bad guys. And so, you know, of course they should have access to it. Because they don't understand the repercussions. They don't understand how the stuff actually works.
Right. And, you know, that's understandable that someone or groups could jump to a wrong conclusion based on their lack of knowledge and understanding about a topic like this. But for the people that are in a position where they will be setting policy for how our data is protected, but, you know, like the government, if they're going to mandate backdoors into our data, I mean, they should be really diving into this in a serious way so they understand what the implications are and can make an informed policy decision. But that doesn't seem to be happening, at least with some politicians.
Well, that's just the thing. It turns out that some politicians do understand this. And it also turns out that some politicians don't. We've talked about some of those politicians during a couple of hearings that were held in Congress earlier this year. I was very delightedly surprised to see just how many politicians seemed to understand the issues.
It was refreshing.
Yeah, it was not surprising that some of them did not. And again, it was to those folks, it was in particular, it was just so obvious and crystal clear that, of course, law enforcement needs to have access to bad guys' devices.
Right.
End of story. Right.
And they were, in many cases, completely baffled by Apple's inability to just unlock an iPhone.
Yeah, just do it. Do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think from their perspective, it was as simple as you push a button and someone's iPhone is unlocked, which I could see from a certain perspective, because that's what we do with our iPhones. We put our finger on the home button and it's just unlocked.
Well, I think that I think it would actually be more fair to say that to those people, they believe that law enforcement should have the keys to our devices. They can use those keys with a warrant. Period. And you know, the trade-off in security and privacy is a very subjective thing. Some people mm-hmm. believe that if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't, you know, you don't have anything to hide. So you should be a hard A-OK time with that government. Argument. Well, I mean, it's bull crap.
Well, yes, but I get why some people are willing to accept that argument, because when they're saying it, it's not impacting them directly. And so,
or they don't, they don't think it is.
Right. And, but if they were in a situation where the police just showed up at their house and walked in and sat down at their computer and started looking at their email or going through their dresser drawers or whatever, it would be a completely different story, because now it has a very real and immediate impact on them.
Yeah. To say this, I can't, I'm going to be incredibly circumspect about the way that I say this. The biggest issue on along these lines is not what the police are looking for today. It's what the police or the government might be interested in looking for tomorrow, because the tools that are enabled to meet today's challenges will always be used in an expanded capacity in the future to meet whatever is perceived as tomorrow's challenges. And historically speaking, that has always eventually included speaking out against the government everywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's
almost everywhere else in the world.
Almost everywhere else in the world. And there's no reason to assume that couldn't happen here in the United States.
We are closer than we have ever been, I believe, to that being a possibility here in the United States. And I'll leave it at that.
Sure. And I'm with you. Yeah. It's okay. So part of the problem, I think, is that people are confusing the right to privacy in all of their personal information with the right to privacy when you have done something wrong. Now, you still have the right to privacy regardless. So if you've done something wrong, okay, now it's up to the government to get a lawful warrant to examine your personal information. And I think a lot of people are under the misguided notion that if you don't have anything to hide, then it doesn't matter if the government wants to look at your personal information. And the answer is yes, it totally matters, because your privacy should always be your privacy. It's not conditional.
Well, yeah. Again, I'm as much of a privacy nut I am, it's not because I'm worried about the government, quote unquote, searching through my digital life now. I'm not. It's for me, it's entirely the principle. It's always about protecting we the people from government overreach in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a reasonable concern. And
it is to me.
And for me, it's a concern every day. I feel like we need to be vigilant every single day about our privacy. And so as an example, if I were stopped by the police for, say, running a red light, and I know, like, I would do that, but let's say I'm stopped by the police for running a red light, and as part of the traffic stop, the cop says, "I want to look at what's on your phone." My answer would be no. Whereas most people, I think, would say okay and unlock their phone and hand it to the police officer. But I have nothing to hide on my phone, but that's not the point. The point is my privacy should remain that way regardless of what the government wants, unless they have a warrant, which means that they have probable cause or at least reasonable suspicion to believe that I have committed a specific crime.
Right. I'm with you. Preach on, brother. Testify. Woo! Woo. So I'm going to quote from this piece. So here's the deal. The encryption work group, the EWB, has been looking at this issue essentially on behalf of the broader Congress, the broader House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And they issued a year-end report that didn't have a lot of information, but it did have some important things. I'm going to read a quote here. What do you think?
Okay. Read to me, Brian.
Technology companies, civil society advocates. This is a quote. A number of federal agencies and some members of the academic community argue that encryption protects hundreds of millions of people against theft, fraud, and other criminal acts. Cryptography experts and information security professionals believe that it is exceedingly difficult and impractical, if not impossible, to devise and implement a system that gives law enforcement exceptional access to encrypted data without also compromising security against hackers, industrial spies, and other malicious actors.
Oh, that's awesome.
Further, requiring exceptional access to encrypted data would, by definition, prohibit encryption design best practices such as "quote unquote" forward secrecy from being implemented. Well, I've got another quote here too.
I'm totally loving this. This is exactly what they should be saying,
right? Because it happens to be reality.
Yes.
There was another quote. Oh goodness, I'm gonna have to. I should have marked this. If I'd been clever, I would have put this aside somewhere.
That would have been clever.
Yeah,
almost as clever as knowing how to play the guitar with gloves on.
Yeah, except for you can't do that. That's actually impossible. It's as impossible, by the way, as having a secure encryption system where the government has keys.
Now, keep in mind just as that impossible. Star Wars is long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away with technology that's far beyond ours today. Maybe their technology allows them to play an instrument that appears like a guitar.
27 seconds. Look at the strings. The glove is dampening the strings.
Man. Sometimes it's like I don't even know you. Did you find your thing?
No, I'm still looking for my thing. Geez.
I can stall by continuing to ridicule you about your Star Wars dysfunction.
Yeah. National observation number one. Here we go. Any measure that weakens encryption works against the national interest. Quote unquote.
I like that.
Any measure that weakens encryption works against the national interest. This was a finding, an observation, as it were, by the encryption working group. And that is...
which is comprised of government people, of politicians. Yes. Just to be clear. Okay.
And another quote, Congress should not weaken this vital technology because doing so works against the national interest. However... and here's the weird part. This is theoretically, by the way, what we're going to talk about. So we got two back-to-back sentences. I'm going to read the first one again. Congress should not weaken this vital technology because doing so works against the national interest. However, it should not ignore and must address the legitimate concerns of the law enforcement and intelligence communities.
Okay, so that sounds...
mutually exclusive... statements.
Yeah, that seems very contradictory to everything they've said so far.
Yes, it does sound very yes, and they do have some specific proposals. They have some specific proposals. By the way, I had found this. By the way, Patently Apple found this. And it seems to have been the only site to cover it. We're talking about it now. I intend to write about it after we finish recording the show.
Good.
They did have a couple of proposals in this thing. Quote unquote, exploring tools that might help companies clarify what information is already available to law enforcement, blah, 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 under what circumstances, blah, blah, blah. Examining federal warrant procedures to determine whether they could be made more efficient. Well, that's actually a smart idea, but is not going to change the fact that you can't give the government access to encrypted data without it compromising everybody. Right? There's those mutually.
I'm kind of baffled now.
Yeah. Examining federal warrant procedures to ensure they are clear and consistent. Yeah, all right, fine. Examining how law enforcement can better utilize existing investigative tools. Now, that is a very practical recommendation, basically saying that there are a lot of tools that are already out there. Why don't you use those?
Okay, that seems reasonable.
Right, I mean, because, you know, part, but that to me is, I don't know if this is what they intended, but that to me is a statement towards how, because it is so sexy from a law enforcement perspective and from a national intelligence perspective, it's just sexy to collect everything and sift through it looking for the problems. It's just a sexy idea, man. Because you could just get it all. You're going to get it all. Oh, yeah. Bring all that information. I'm going to wade through it. I'm going to find the bad things.
Okay, now right? You're just sounding creepy.
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's a sexy idea to that side of this problem. It's a sexy idea to the people who are charged with keeping us safe. But that way lies a police state.
I agree. It's a path that takes us very quickly into an area where we do not have privacy, we do not have security, and from an electronic standpoint, which also means we don't have secure credit card transactions.
Right. And it's all, you know, all in the name of keeping us safe. Right.
So that's
where the tension comes from here. The James Comey is not an evil man. Right. He's not hell bent on,
some people are questioning that now, but that's a completely different story.
It is a completely different story. And it's a position that, though I disagree with him on a number of things, I vehemently will argue with. James Comey is not an evil man. He is trying to do his job, and the law enforcement and the intelligence services want to do their job. They are tasked with keeping us safe. They want to do their jobs. The vast majority of police officers want to keep their communities safe. They want to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. And they want to be able to get into the iPhones. When they get an iPhone from a drug dealer, they want to be able to get into it, right? When there's a kidnapping, they want to be able to get into the devices that they've been able to find, be it the devices that are owned by the victims or used by the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Or devices that are used or owned by the bad guys or suspects, right? I mean, you can want to do the wrong thing in pursuit of something noble, ideal, good, just.
Right. And for some people, that is validation for the ends justify the means.
But, yeah, exactly. And down that road lies a police state.
Yes. Yeah, living in a world where we don't have that security doesn't sound like a good idea. Just no, all the way around.
Here's the ironic thing: if we went down this path fully, and our government had backdoors into we're going to take out the whole economic argument. We're going to take out the bit where if our government gets backdoors into Android and iOS and macOS and Windows,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of them, right? We're going to ignore how what that is going to do is cause multiple other countries to heavily invest in developing their own alternative technologies, and we lose our leadership of the tech world, of the tech globe. Mm-hmm. Right? We're going to ignore that for a second. We're going to go to this police state where the police get to sift through everything, looking for the bad guys, looking for illegal acts, and pursuing those illegal acts because they found them through by slurping up all this information. So we live in this total police state where it becomes increasingly difficult to commit any kind of crime. We're also, by the way, we're going to ignore the fact that there will always be actual secure ways to communicate.
Right. Outlawing our encryption does not mean there won't be encryption. What it means is that encryption will be in the hands of, like good encryption will be in the hands of only those people that
are willing to circumvent the law.
Right. So
we're going to ignore that too.
Okay. We'll ignore that too.
We're going to ignore that too. Now we're living in this police state where everybody is pretty darn safe, sort of, except for they're not, but whatever, they're pretty darn safe. But the reality is that now the whole globe full of bad guys is going to be able to get to our stuff too.
That does not sound appealing on any level, but wait, Brian, wait. Didn't Director Comey say that if the government had keys into our encrypted data, that they would protect them?
Yeah, right. Maybe, I'm sure. Actually, no. What Comey was saying is that he thinks that the keys should stay with the companies and be only accessible via warrant. But, you know, the problem is that companies can't always keep their keys safe either.
No, look at Microsoft with that.
Yahoo's problems.
Oh, Yahoo's like all the time. But Microsoft this year, was it like back in spring or something? They accidentally released their encryption keys.
And listen, Microsoft is one of the best companies on the planet when it comes to actually keeping actually managing things like its own security. Something like this still happen. Don't get me wrong, Apple is probably better. But I mean, Microsoft is no slouch here. Microsoft has a lot of responsibility because of its customers, which include governments and you know, multi-billion-dollar companies.
Right.
And so, you know, Microsoft has got a lot of responsibility, and they've got a pretty darn good reputation in terms of meeting that responsibility. I mean, so I'm not suddenly on the Microsoft fanboy wagon or something, but is there such a thing as a fanboy wagon? There is now.
Yeah, and you know how they play guitar on the fanboy wagon?
Well, I know how they don't play guitar on the fanboy wagon, and that's with gloves on their hands, because you can't. Because you can't do it. You just can't do it. So anyway, this encryption working group has issued something with the right conclusions, which is you can't weaken this stuff because it's going to make the United States as a whole weaker.
Mm-hmm.
While simultaneously saying, yeah, but you got to find a way to work with folks. So, you know, it remains to be seen where this goes.
Yeah. Right now we're in a state of political turmoil where I don't know. I'm not overly confident that our political leaders are going to make the right choices about our digital privacy and security.
I am not either, but this does give me hope. This shows that because, you know, it's the intelligence community, academia, and private industry that is all pretty unified here. And it shows that they're listening.
Which is great.
And yeah, and with any luck, this is going to end up translating into Congress not screwing the pooch.
I hope you are right.
Pooch doesn't need to be screwed.
No.
All right, speaking of screwing the pooch.
I can't wait to hear where you're going with this.
Well, there was an assassination last week. Over the weekend or last week?
I think it was over the weekend.
I think it was over this last weekend. And the Russian ambassador to Turkey was assassinated. And that's, I'm not going to make any jokes there. It's
yeah, that's not hyperbolic. He was assassinated.
He was actually assassinated. It's terrible. I mean, terrible thing. Turns out the assassin who killed himself after killing the ambassador,
in a manner of speaking, he was killed in a shootout with police.
Oh, I thought he shot himself.
Did maybe he wrong? Did, but he was involved in a shootout with police at the time.
Right. Maybe. Okay. All right. So one way or another, he's dead. And he had an iPhone 4S that's locked with the passcode. Mm-hmm. And they haven't been able to open it in Turkey. And they apparently have asked Apple to help. Now, this is interesting because it's an iPhone 4S. It is quite conceivable that Apple could unlock it without creating government OS. Because, you know, Apple has unlocked lots of devices here in America mm-hmm. prior to iOS 8 or 9, whichever version it is. I really think it's 8.
You may be right. We could look it up, but that's just crazy talk.
That's just completely crazy. And the Russians have dispatched a team to help out. That would be probably a team of Russian hackers who have possibly been in the news for the last few months.
Right. But I believe they prefer to refer to them as encryption specialists.
Right. And they have volunteered to help.
That's so sweet of them.
It is very sweet of them. Now relations between Russia and Turkey have been tense for years, a long, long time.
Right. So this is actually a really smart move on Russia's part to say, hey, we want to help you.
Well, it is. Turkey may not. I'm not so sure that Turkey wants that help.
Doesn't matter. The fact that they are reaching out with an olive branch is a really good political move.
And Turkey, well, okay, yeah. But
anyhow, that's not really the point of this discussion.
Well, and the Turkish authorities are probably smart enough to figure out that any help from the Russians is going to include the Russians doing what the Russians want.
Sure, that's a reasonable assumption.
Right. And we don't know if U.S. like the FBI or the NSA has been asked to help. We do know that Apple has been asked to help. We don't know what Apple's response is. We don't know what Apple could do. We don't know what version of iOS this device was running, if it was running anything before what I believe is 8. And again, we're way too lazy to check. Mm-hmm. That Apple could probably crack it open 8 ways to Sunday, as can a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, there are cracking tools and devices that law enforcement and government agencies can purchase today over the internet to plug this iPhone into and unlock.
Right. Our new writer, Andrew Orr, wrote up a piece for us today, and he noted that Naked Security, a security-focused website, reported or pointed out that an iPhone 4S default settings basically allows anyone using Siri to bypass the lock screen with a certain verbal command, even if it's locked. But we don't know if it has said default settings. We don't know what version of iOS it was running. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's not necessarily the same kind of problem that Apple had with the FBI in creating government OS. Because like you've said, Apple has responded to many warrants asking Apple to unlock some devices.
Right.
We don't know if Apple has done that recently, but we do know that there was certainly a time in which Apple opened many devices, opened devices that it could open when presented with a valid warrant. Mm-hmm. The thing that Apple was balking at was creating government OS.
Right. And rightly so.
In our opinion, rightly so.
Yeah. So it's totally possible Apple could decrypt this device and just call it good. But
unlock it.
Excuse me. Unlock it and call it good. And maybe they will. Maybe they won't. We don't know. Because Apple certainly isn't going to talk about this.
Probably not.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Tim Cook sat down in a interview or at a media event and just started going on about their involvement in the Turkey assassination case.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see where that goes. I would guess that Turkey and Russia would both love to crow about having opened it themselves.
Sure. And with the tools that are available on the market, they should have done it already.
Yeah. Turkey doesn't necessarily have the same resources, say, that the FBI has.
In addition to that, the
president of Turkey is a nut job.
Okay, there is that. Yeah, that's a big problem. But if
he may, by the way, decree that I am in violation of some Turkish law by me having called him a nut job.
That's
part of his nut jobbery.
Well, if so, I think you should wear that as a badge of honor.
I would, in fact, wear it as a badge of honor.
But realistically, if Turkey wanted to have that iPhone unlocked already, they should have done it or should have been able to do it, because all it takes is a government account with, I don't know, it's ridiculous how inexpensive these tools are for governments, and then gotten on the internet, ordered the kit, and had it shipped overnight. That would have been the most expensive part, probably.
Right.
And have already done this. So for all we know, they've already gotten into his phone.
They may have.
And my guess is that if this is like any, or pretty much every other device that's been unlocked in situations like this, where it's a really big thing that's happened, they're not going to find anything of value on the phone.
Yeah, they may. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
they may.
Depends on the guy wiped. Depends on how professional he was.
Yeah. So, they may find something.
Saeed Farouk was remarkably good about having erased his digital.
He used a different phone for everything except his work related stuff, and he made sure that he destroyed that phone before the shootout with the police started.
Right. And there wasn't anything on the work phone either.
Right.
And he wasn't a professional. He was obviously someone who just thought about what he was doing. So yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes. There's a whole lot of stuff we don't know. It'd be interesting to see if Apple ends up figuring into the story any more than it already has.
My guess is that if Apple is involved with this, we will hear, but it will be through unofficial channels.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So let's see here. We have, what is this? This is we're recording this on Thursday, December 22nd. Mm-hmm. Day late, by the way. We apologize. It's my fault.
Well, it's a team effort. So we can both agree it was your fault. Anyhow, so yeah, we're a day late.
So it is Christmas week.
Mm-hmm.
Or the week before Christmas. Technically, next week would technically be Christmas week, because Christmas is on a Sunday, and Sunday is the beginning of the week. So technically, next week is Christmas week. In practical effect, this week is Christmas week.
Mostly. Pedantic.
mostly pedantic, right? There's been very little news, but our inboxes have been flooded for the last two or three weeks with CES invitations, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Here's a bit of interesting trivia for you, Brian.
yeah,
CES, Consumer Electronics Show, a year or two ago, they started saying, never call it Consumer Electronics Show. It is now just CES, which is really funny because the initials by themselves are meaningless, except for the fact that we have known CES as the abbreviation for Consumer Electronics Show for so many years.
Right. And from a branding perspective, I get why they care. Is probably be very good for them that we only refer to it as CES. They can go screw themselves because it's the Consumer Electronics Show. CES, well, for sure.
Well, there you go. And, well, actually,
hopefully they don't.
Now that
know
we're mostly pedantic, it's yeah. CES, Consumer Electronics Show, for long.
Right. Right. All right. I like that. There's hope for you. Yeah. So, what are you seeing, Jeff? In terms of trends that are so the show starts, I think the 4th or the 5th.
Yes. Hold on, I can tell you.
If only we had a calendar. It starts on the 5th. The show floor opens.
Yeah,
but there's CES a lot of Unveiled is on the 3rd.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening for us on the 3rd and 4th, and then the expo floor opens on the 5th. Yeah.
Right.
So you asked me what...
PepCom is the 4th. CES Unveiled is the 5th. And when is Digital Experience?
And Showstoppers and...
Showstoppers. No, the PepCom Digital Experience. But when is Showstoppers?
It's on the 3rd or the 4th. I could look at a calendar, but I'm choosing not to.
I actually think it's on the 5th. It's the night of the first night.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Who knew?
Well, apparently they did because they scheduled it.
Right. So, what are you seeing?
For me, I'm seeing three categories that just come up over and over every single day. And one is the health and fitness technology market, mm-hmm. which does include mm-hmm. wearables. Yep. The second is the smart home space.
Yep.
And the third is robotics.
We've seen stuff with HomeKit.
Yes. Yes. There are companies that have been contacting us about their HomeKit compatible devices.
Yeah. Most of that, if not all of it, has been under embargo. So we can't specify yet. Well, we could, but we would be A, jerks, and B,
jerks
and unprofessional. So we won't. Right. We are jerks and we're sometimes unprofessional, but in this particular regard,
we are not.
We do honor. We honor company embargoes.
Yes. Yes, we do. Anyhow, right. So I'm seeing the same thing.
I'm seeing the same thing. I've seen some TV stuff too, and I've seen a lot of AR, VR stuff.
Yeah, I'm seeing AR and VR stuff.
I have a feeling that you're disregarding it because you're calling shenanigans.
No, I'm noticing the AR, VR stuff coming through, but I'm not seeing it at the same scale as health and fitness, smart home, and robotics.
I've definitely seen a lot of AR stuff coming through.
Yeah, which tells you how much of the other is coming through. Because I agree, there's a lot of AR stuff that's coming through.
Right, and the help, man, health and fitness, I think that Fitbit and Apple Watch own that space now.
Yes.
Maybe Garmin with a little bit of share too, but I think we're going to see a lot of products that are going to end up going away. That's my gut feeling at this point.
Well, we're already seeing that because Fitbit bought Pebble.
Right, but I'm saying we're going to see stuff at CES.
Oh, I
see.
That
either won't actually come to market, or if it does come to market, it's not going to make much of a splash, and there's just not going to, the companies aren't going to get any traction there.
Well, to be fair, we do see a lot of that every year anyhow, but I get what you're saying. I think this year we'll see a lot more of the failed products.
Right, kind of like the... Well, not vaguely similar to all the tablets we saw right before iPad was announced.
Oh, holy crap. That was insane. I was able to spend a day going to different booths and just looking at these prototype iPad knockoffs before the iPad came out. Yeah. And it was funny because some of the booths, they really freaked out when they saw my camera come out, and they did not want me taking any photos.
Yeah, yeah. There was one company in particular that didn't want you touching their tablets,
right?
Let alone for photographing them,
right? And the funny thing is, what they had was exactly what I saw at like two booths before where I did take photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of just nonsense in the tablet space.
Yeah, well, and there's always a lot of products, the nonsense products. There's because there's that whole section at CES where it's the, you know, it's like the what we would consider the no-name companies, because that we have no idea what their names are, and they're coming out of Korea and China, and they're making the really low-cost products that are knockoffs of other things. Do you remember last year from that area, there was the company that the U.S. Marshals came in and shut down and confiscated their stuff and kicked them out of the show? And they,
oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. They made the knockoff of the, I just forgot the name of the thing. It's a little board you stand on. It has just the two wheels on it.
The hoverboard
thing. Yeah. And they made like a total knockoff on that, even down to the wheels that look like the big Hot Wheels things, like the hoverboard. And, yeah, that was something. I didn't get to see the actual takedown of that, but I did see the aftermath as all the uniformed people were heading out and good times.
Yeah, good times. So we're gonna see. We're both okay. I'm not booking appointments with the fitness and sports stuff,
but I am.
But you are, and I am booking appointments with some of the AR people, and I'm expecting to see some interesting things there. I mean, like, you know, because CES, a lot of CES is
vaporware.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So part of the thing about CES is that many companies that are showing up and displaying products, they're displaying proof of concepts and they're displaying prototypes of products that they are genuinely developing and hope to get enough buyers interested in so that they can bring them to market.
Right, because CES is not just aimed at the press, and the general public can't get into the show.
Right.
You have to be a retailer, a distributor, a distribution company, or a company that makes stuff, or someone in the press. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to get into the show. And this is despite the fact that hundreds of thousands of people go to the show. And it's huge. It's huge. But
mind-bogglingly huge.
Yes. Like we have never come close to seeing 5% of the booths.
Right. And I mean, that's saying something.
Nowhere near close.
Yeah, we typically have at least four people at the expo.
Three.
No, we have four.
It's Dave.
And John Braun.
Who? Oh, that's true. No, John Braun hasn't normally been there, though.
Last year and this year.
Yes.
He's our new addition. He's our new fourth person. Enough. Mr. Pedantic Pants.
Fair enough. Right. So there have been either three or four of us. We don't even come close to looking at the entire. It's not even pretend close. I mean, it's just this avalanche of information. And a big part of those people aren't there necessarily to see the press. Press is great. Mm-hmm. Right. But they're not necessarily there to see the press. They're actually there to make distribution deals.
Right. Yep. Which makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of these companies, they aren't interested in us, which is OK. Which actually is part of the reason why I never go to the section where they have televisions. I went through 1 year because there was like I don't know, this television that was 12 feet long. And I thought that would be really interesting to see. And I saw it. I'm like, yep, that's a big TV.
Right.
Anyhow, my point is that I'm very selective about what parts of CES I go to, because it's a limited amount of time with what feels like an infinite number of products.
Right. My point.
Oh, you probably have a point.
Yeah, was because a lot of deals are being made for Christmas, like the show that's taking place in January 2017. A lot of it's going to be people trying to make deals for Christmas of 2017.
Yes, that's so true.
And that's why some of the stuff, I don't like calling it vaporware, because vaporware to me implies a knowledge that this isn't going to ship. But I associate the vaporware with internet coverage. People that are showing at CES have actually put some money into showing at CES. They probably actually have plans to get the stuff out.
Yeah,
and sometimes those plans fail.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I agree.
And I don't feel comfortable calling that. I mean, I don't know. Some of it's vape. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm mostly pedantic.
I think you're mostly pedantic. And I have seen many products over the years at CES that I have no doubt will never come to market. And I believe that the companies don't plan on bringing them to market. In some cases, I think what they're doing is showing off different technologies they have in a more tangible way for potential buyers, so that when they do have a product to ship, these companies are already familiar with what they're capable of. So they come up with vaporware products to show.
Yes. Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough. I'm going to let that go because we're out of time.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. We can let that one go. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
I'm incredibly distracted right now. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by the Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. Recorded just for us. That's all for this week.
Oh, in spite of Brian, stay subscribed.
You'll see us or hear us or something online at the Mac Observer.